Before we close this morning and we go to thinking about our food and just having a nice time together, I want to pick up something that Emily said in her testimony, which might seem rather odd to you. She said something along the lines of, "I was a lost sheep that God has brought back home." If you've been raised in a church, you probably know what she's talking about. But if you haven't, that's quite a strange thing for her to say. And so I hope in the next 20 minutes or so to explain what Emily meant when she called herself a lost sheep. If you understand that, you'll really understand what this whole service has been about. And in fact, you'll understand what Jesus is all about as well. We read before that story of Jesus about the lost sheep. And maybe you've heard it before, maybe in Sunday school, maybe in a primary school RE lesson. Jesus' parables, you probably know, are stories that talk about physical things to help us understand spiritual realities. It's a familiar story to probably most people in this room. And because it's so familiar, we might miss how utterly surprising it actually is. And so I hope this story will help two sorts of people. For Emily and anyone who's a believer, I hope it will give you a fresh sense of astonishment at all that Jesus has done for you. And if you don't yet believe in Jesus, I hope this will help you to understand what he's really all about. So in these verses, there are three surprising truths. And the first surprising truth is this: we're all lost sheep. We're all lost sheep. I wonder how you understand what happened this morning to Emily. You might think Emily is a good Christian girl, and good Christian girls should get baptized to show how good they are. But that's not what Emily said, is it? She said she was a lost sheep in her testimony, a prodigal son, a sinner. She said that she didn't live a perfect life, but that she fell short in many ways. And Jesus would agree. In fact, all the people that come to him are lost sheep. Now that surprises people because most people think that Jesus is a bit like a talent agent. A talent agent goes and sits at the back of music venues to watch people singing. And if he hears a girl singing, he might say to her, "Girl, you've got something. Come with me. I'm going to make you a star." He sees her talent and he wants to hone it to turn her into a pop star. And I think that most of us deep down assume that Jesus functions like that. He's watching the world. And he's on the look for young men and young women who go to church, who read their Bible, who never get into trouble at school. And he says, "There's a girl that's got it all together. I'm going to take her and I'm going to use her for my glory." That's what we expect Jesus to do. We expect him to be a talent scout for the holiest people in the world. But that's not what he's like. In fact, the story of the lost sheep begins with Jesus being criticized for not behaving like that. Look at verses 1 to 2 again. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" The Pharisees and the teachers of the law had a good reputation. They had all of these extra laws that they wanted to keep to show how great they were. They imagined that when God's special Messiah come, he'd look for the holiest people and they would be the ones he'd pick out from the crowd. But Jesus was hanging around with tax collectors and sinners. Now, tax collectors might not seem that bad to you. It's a bit annoying when we have to fill in our taxes, isn't it? But they're probably not people you'd identify as the worst people in the world. But you've got to remember that the Jewish people were being occupied by the Romans. And they weren't happy about that. It's like the Nazis occupying France and other countries during World War II. Imagine if you were in France in World War II, how much you'd hate the people that worked for the Nazis who were French themselves. They're almost worse than the Germans because they betrayed their people. And that's what was the problem with these tax collectors. They made themselves wealthy by betraying their people and ultimately their gods. And what does sinners mean? Well, every Jewish person knew that no one was perfect, that all people had done things wrong. But these were particularly bad people. We don't know exactly what they did, but you can imagine the sort of thing. The kind of people you see in the street and you kind of walk over the other side. The people at school who were always getting into trouble. are people with a criminal record of some way. Those are the type of people that Jesus was hanging around with. And the religious types are all shocked. They'd never hang around with sinners. That's not what Jesus was there for, they figured. If he was hanging around with people like that, well, then he mustn't really be from God. Why would God's son hang around with people like that? Now, it wasn't just discrimination. They hadn't got the wrong end of the stick. These sinners really were simple. They really were bad. They really had broken God's law. But Jesus welcomed them anyway. Because Jesus hasn't come as a talent agent to find the most holy people in the world for his little gang. He's come as a shepherd to find lost sheep. Christians aren't called to worship together because they're the holiest people that anyone can think of, but because they're the people that recognize that they're sinful. A Christian doesn't claim to be part of an elite group of religious snobs who look down their nose on everyone else. Christians are failures who don't deserve forgiveness, but get it anyway. Now you might look at Emily and think, well, she's not a sinner. She's not murdered anyone. She's never done drugs. She's never cheated on any tests at school. I've only known Emily since she's been at high school, I think, for about 9 years. But I've got to say, I've never heard anyone say, oh, that Emily, she's causing problems in YP. Or Jenny and Dave saying that Emily's been in trouble at school. But the key aspect of being a sinner is rejecting God. As one author in the Bible put it, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. We go our own way. We think we can live without God. And that's the biggest problem. Emily looked at her life, she looked at her heart, and realized that she'd been going her own way. The God who made her deserved better, and she needed to repent. And if you and I are honest, we've got to say the same thing. We're not the good people, we're the lost sheep. Emily, it's great that you've come to see your need of Jesus. Don't ever forget it. Don't get to the stage when you're like the Pharisees and think you're better than everyone else. You'll always be a lost sheep in need of rescue. Come to Jesus knowing that he loves you, even despite your lostness. All of us are lost sheep. So that's the first surprising truth of this parable. We're all lost sheep. The next surprising truth is Jesus seeks lost sheep. Many people, when they realize that they're lost and they're not the way that they should be, they sink into despair. God gave these commands and I rejected him. I've lived my life without him. Why would he want someone like me? But in this parable, Jesus tells the people that he seeks those lost sheep, rather than rejects them. He says in verse 4, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? That's exactly what a shepherd would do. He'd count his sheep in every night, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hopefully he wouldn't fall asleep. And eventually he would perhaps realize that there was one not there. And he didn't care about the 99 safe in the pen, maybe he'd leave them with someone else. The one was in danger and he'd go and find it as quick as he can. Now, most of us aren't shepherds and we don't have a particular attachment to sheep, so we can't grasp the urgency of it. So think of it like this. Imagine Emily's dog, Rocky, is lost. And no one in the Roberts household would get any sleep that night. They'd be out searching the streets of Winterley with a torch. They'd be posting on community Facebook pages pictures of Rocky with one of Dave's token jokes to go with it. They'd do everything they could to find Rocky. No one would be saying, well, who cares about Rocky? Squeaker the hamster is safe upstairs. No, they'd go out and look for the missing pet. And any of you who have a pet would do the same. Any shepherd would seek his lost sheep. And Jesus seeks lost people. When he sees someone running away from God, he doesn't say, oh, who cares about them? He goes out to find them. Today is not about celebrating the amazing thing that Emily has done for Jesus. It's celebrating the amazing thing that Jesus did for Emily. He knew before she was born that she'd sin. So he came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect life, full of suffering, but he lived it nonetheless. And then he died to take the penalty for her sin. I gave the quote before, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. But it finishes like this. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Jesus didn't just find Emily. He died for her. And that's what a shepherd's job was in the ancient world. Shepherds were a lot more macho in ancient Israel. I apologize if you are a shepherd now, but it's not quite the same thing. We live in a country where there's no natural predators for sheep. In the ancient world, in ancient Israel, there were wolves, there were lions, there were bears. And one man from Bible times, King David, who you might know from the story David and Goliath, he talks about wrestling lions and bears to rescue his sheep. Being a shepherd was a very dangerous job. As Jesus said elsewhere, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus did lay down his life. In fact, he did more than that. He gave his life to rescue his lost sheep. I wonder, has anyone loved you enough to lay down their life for you? Well, Jesus did that for Emily. And he did that for all of his lost sheep. You might think Jesus would never want someone like you. Someone who's ignored him. Someone who's got a terrible past. But that's simply not the case. Jesus laid down his life. For lost sheep. However lost you are doesn't mean that he's less willing to save you. It makes him more willing to go out and find you. Emily, there'll be points in your Christian life where you'll feel like you've let Jesus down. The solution is not to look at yourself and think how good a sheep you are, but to look to Jesus and realize what he's done for you. He laid down his life, and whatever you do in the future, his life will still be laid down for you. So we've seen we're all lost sheep. Jesus seeks lost sheep. And the last surprising thing in this passage is that heaven rejoices over lost sheep. So far, we're only at verse 4 in this passage. Just under half the parable is about how joyful the shepherd is to have found his sheep. Look at verses 5 to 6 if you have a Bible. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. There's a party atmosphere as the sheep comes home. And it seems a little bit over the top. Let's imagine again that Rocky is lost in the streets of Winterley. A relief, Jenny, if she finds Rocky, might post on the Haslington Facebook page, good news everyone, his home's safe. But she wouldn't add, we're having an all-night party for the entire neighbourhood, come and celebrate. It's normal for a shepherd to seek a lost sheep. It isn't normal for him to call a village party to celebrate. But that's kind of the point. You see, Jesus' parables, they often make sense right up until the end, and then they get really crazy. There's something that Jesus says which seems over the top. And actually, when you get that over the top bit, that's often the key to understanding the parable as a whole. When you search for a lost sheep, you don't throw a welcome home flossy party. But Jesus does. What's he trying to get at? Well, look at verse 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. The party in the parable is meant to point to a party in heaven. In heaven, there's the angels. There's Christians who have died and gone to be with their Lord. And most importantly, there is God himself. And the moment one sinner repents, there's a celebration. I love baptism services. There's a real spirit of celebration in the church. They're the best days to be here. But they're nothing compared to the joy in heaven right now. Emily, today there's a lot of celebration for you. Your mum, your dad and your family, they're no doubt very proud. Your friends are excited to celebrate with you. And your church family, we're all so excited to see the way that you've grown into a woman who trusts in the Lord Jesus for yourself. But none of those people are a patch on how God feels about you. He's celebrating right now. He's more excited than anyone in this room. In fact, in the book of Zephaniah, it says that God sings over his people. God is singing with joy that you've turned to him and trusted in him. How astonishing is that? God doesn't reluctantly say, oh, fine, I guess you've done just about enough for me to forgive you, but don't expect me to be happy about it. He's dancing like a proud father. Have you seen my Emily? Have you seen her baptism today? She was lost, but now she's found. She's come back home. Heaven rejoices, and most importantly, God rejoices over every sinner who repents. So those are the three surprising truths. First, we're all lost sheep. Second, Jesus seeks lost sheep. And thirdly, heaven rejoices over lost sheep. Let me give you a takeaway for each person here. Firstly, Emily, don't forget the message of Jesus. You're right, you were a lost sheep, but Jesus came to die for you anyway. He doesn't regret it one bit, and he's celebrating in heaven right now that you've turned back to him. Secondly, to those of you who are Christians, remember that for yourselves, however long ago it was that you were baptized. Remember how lost you once were. Remember what Jesus came to do for you. And remember that when you turned from your sin, there was rejoicing in heaven. If you recognize that, surely you'll have a heart like the Lord Jesus that goes out to find the lost and bring them home. Finally, if you don't know Jesus, well, let me invite you to come and find out what Emily has found. Jesus seeks lost sheep. He seeks after you. The reason you're here this morning listening to these words is because he's got plans for you to come under the sound of his message. Jesus died and he seeks you. Why not accept him? Why not turn from your sin and trust in him alone for salvation? And then there'll be even greater rejoicing in heaven today because there's one more sinner that repented.